King. Forever he's our healer. Forever he's our shelter. Forever and forever. Praise God. God bless you. Three P's this morning. We thank God for being in the house of the Lord one more time. Certainly this is the day the Lord has made, and we will rejoice. We choose to rejoice and be glad in it. Amen. May the blessings of the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory, glory. Amen. Amen. Praise God. You know, God inhabits the praises of his people. Thank you, Lord. We have been blessed already. Thank you, God. The word of God has gone forth in worship. The prayer, crying out to the Lord Jesus, his word, amen. What a blessing. What a mighty God we serve. You know, I don't know if I'm imposing on Sister Amanda or Camille. They just got through taking us through worship. Amen. But every now and then, it seemed like I just feel a praise down on the inside. Amen. Sister Amanda, why don't we crank up a praise song in here? Let's get somewhere we can put our hands together. Amen. In our living room, in our bedroom, in our offices at home. And let's praise the Lord up in this house, and we'll get into the word. Amen. But I'm just excited. I feel like Brother Tyrone. I'm just excited for the Lord Jesus on today. Praise the Lord as we're here to give God praise. Amen. It won't take us long to crank something up here. Praise the Lord.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Praise God. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, thank you all for helping me get that out. Praise the Lord. Amen. I'm so excited. I didn't know which way to turn, but praise the Lord. There's victory in the praise. Hallelujah. When praises go up, blessings come down. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Again, praise God. We thank God for another opportunity to be in the house of the Lord one more time. Certainly, we give God glory and honor today, and we're thanking God for who he is and for each one of you. You know, it's just a blessing to come together as saints of God in the house of the Lord. When the praise and worship team was going forth with, "I need you, Lord. I need you, Lord, right now." For some reason, seemed like I just wanted to hear that in Spanish. I was sitting there and I could just hear some of the saints saying that, so I had to go to my trusty translator and plug in those words. And I know Mother Lee can correct it if it's wrong, but it says, "Te necesito, Señor. Te necesito, Señor. Ahora mismo." And for some reason, it just kept dropping in my spirit. So I just wanted to see and hear what it looked like. So I whipped out the translation. God bless you all. "I need you, Lord. We need you, Lord. We need you right now. Father, we need you as we prepare to share your word." Your word, God, not my word. Your word from eternity. Give us what to say and how to say, Father God, that you alone will be glorified, that we may hear a word from you that will help us along our way. We thank you and we praise you. Now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O God, my strength and my redeemer. Praise the Lord. Amen. I want to talk to you today from a thought: the need for God's word. There is today, in the day that we're living in, there is a need, Brother Gary, for God's word. You know, there's definitely three groups of people, human beings, who need the word of God. The first group would be the group who don't know the Lord, who are not familiar at all with the word of God, and yet they're living each day doing the best they know how in a fallen and broken world. That group need the word of God. Then there's a group that need the word of God that has heard about the word of God and have been taught the word of God, and they may not be walking in the word of God. In these days and time we're living in, that group needs the word of God. And then the other group that need the word of God is the group who loves Jesus, who's been washed in the blood of the Lamb, who have made their heart and mind up to serve Jesus the balance of their days, and yet are dealing with all of the ills and the trials and the hurts and the pains and the agony and death of this old world. The saints of God, like never before, we need the word of God. We need the word of God. So, in short, everybody needs the word of God. I was so inspired in Power Hour this morning as Pastor Jones was teaching and others was chiming in, and he was all over this message today because it's the word of God that set men and women free. It's the word of God that heals the sick and raises the dead. It's the word of God that gives us hope. And so we just thank the Lord. So I want to look at a passage today from 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16 and 17. And as my daughter says quite a bit when she's ministering, we have to get the backstory as well. to look at God's word in context, I believe, is very important. and not just taking a particular verse and running with it. But God, what are you saying to your church today? What is it that you would have for us to do, Lord? What is it that I'm not doing, God, that you want me to do? What is it that I'm doing that you don't want me to do? God, what is your word saying in the midst of a pandemic? God, what is your word saying in the midst of a national divided nation? God, what is your word saying? The need for God's word. We know that when Jesus was tempted of old Slewfoot, of the devil in the wilderness, and the enemy came to him time and time again, but Jesus answered and said, "It is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." Excuse me, praise God. Every word. So it's not just our breakfast, lunch, and dinner that we live by. It's not the buttered bread with the peanut butter and jelly on it. It's the word of God. It's the word of God that we live by. And then 2 Timothy 2:15, you see, Paul wrote this, thank you, Paul wrote this letter to his protege, Timothy, a young man who he took under his wing, a young man who had learned from his mother and his grandmother the word of God. How many of us today have heard the word of God from our mothers and our fathers and our grandparents? And it's something that took hold in our lives that, you know, the scriptures say, train up a child in the way that he should go. And when he's of age, when he's grown, he will not depart. It's something about that word of God, that seed that's planted within us, you can't shake it. Praise God. And you know what? Jesus got a hook in my mouth, and I don't want to get loose. In 2 Timothy 2:15, Paul is admonishing this Timothy, these letters, to be diligent. Or in the King James vernacular, study to show yourself approved unto God. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed or to blush with embarrassment, rightly dividing the word of truth, rightly dividing the word of God. Amen. And we're going to see as these passages unfold how important it is for the word of God in our lives. You know, Psalms 119, 105 say, "Lord, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." From Genesis to Revelations, we see the importance of God's word. So many people would be lost without the word of God. How many times did we hear prophets saying, "The word of the Lord came to me"? Jonah, "The word of the Lord came to me the second time." Over in Ephesians, they talk about when you heard the word of God, the gospel of your salvation, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. There's a need for God's word in these days that we're living in, because if we're not getting our mindset, our worldview from the word of God, then where is it coming from? So the passage we want to look at before we do the backstory is verses 16 and 17 of 2 Timothy 3. It says, "All scripture is given by inspiration of God," meaning God breathed. That nobody just came up with this off the top of their head and said, "We're going to write this and put it into the book," and call it part of the canon of scripture. All scripture, even when this was written, Revelations had not yet been written, but it's yet good, and what Paul was said at that time was still good. All scripture, everything in the 66 books that God has given us, is given by inspiration of God, empowered and motivated by the Holy Ghost. And not only that, it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. There is a need for God's word. Why? That the man of God or the woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Praise God for the reading of his word. And so when we look at verse 16 and 17 in 1 Timothy 3, in the word of God, what's the backstory here? What was maybe happening at the point in the Apostle Paul's heart and mind as he was communicating and penning this letter to young Timothy? You see, there's, you know, have you ever asked somebody, what's going on? They say, nothing. It's always something going on. There's always something happening. There's things that are happening that are good. There's things that are happening that are bad. There's things that are happening in between both of those points. But there's always something happening. And in the midst of always something happening, our God is always in control. God always have a purpose and a plan for everything that he's allowed. But the reality is we are living in a fallen world. We are living in a fallen world. And it's going to take the word of God to bring us through these times that we're living in. So let me go back to the first five verses of 2 Timothy chapter 3 as we work our way back to the passage at hand. And I was reading this. As a matter of fact, Brother Larry and I, we was having some fellowship on yesterday, and we began to look at some of God's word. Brother Larry said, it seemed like that was just written yesterday. Yeah, because it's that alive, it's that important, it's that real, that it may have been written 2,000 years ago, some of it, or even more, is still good for today. God never changes, he's always the same. So in verse 1, it says, but know this, hallelujah, if we were all sitting here together, I would just ask somebody to look at your neighbor and say, but know this. Praise God. But know this, that in the last days, thank you, God. How many times have we comforted ourselves in these times that we're living in right now that you know the time is winding up? You know, have you said that? Have you pointed people to the word of God and say, you know, these are some things that's happening that the word of God said is going to happen. And so here Paul is writing, but know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Dangerous times will come. Uncomfortable times will come. Dire straits will come in the last days. He says, for men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers. Hello, somebody. Have we seen any of this today? Disobedient to parents. Hello. Amen, lights, as they used to say. Unthankful. Unholy. Unholy is the opposite of holy. It's the opposite of being set apart, sanctified for God's use. Unholy. Again, listen at this one. Unloving, unforgiving. You know, we live in a time today where even some of the saints of God have a hard time forgiving. Even though we have been forgiven much, but in the last days, perilous time will come. Not only will people be unloving and unforgiving, but they'll be slanderers. They'll put your name on the superhighway and rail accusations against you in the last days. And people will be without self-control. Have we seen that today? Hello, lights. Push the button. Amen. Without self-control, people will be brutal. People will be despisers of good. You're trying to do good and it makes somebody else mad in the last days. Paul is sharing with Timothy, preparing him from what thus saith the Lord, because what Paul is writing, God, by the power of the Holy Spirit, gave it to him. This is why we need the word of God. We need to hear, we need to know what God is saying. Not only that, people will be traitors. I'm with you today, but I'm on the other team tomorrow. Headstrong. Is that another Hello Lights? You know, some folks got is headstrong. Say that they might tell you, don't confuse me with facts. Don't tell me the truth. Don't tell me no facts. I don't want to hear it because I'm headstrong. People will be haughty. That's the opposite of being humble. People will be lovers of pleasure, my God, rather than lovers of God. In the entertainment world that we're living in, the entertainment age, you know, lovers of pleasure. Some folks sit up in front of the screen all day long playing video games, have virtual glasses on and looking, you know, and but where is God? When do you have time to hear the word of God? When do you have time to hear what God is saying to you concerning your life? It's in the book. It's in the word of God. So people will be lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. And listen to this. They will have a form of godliness. Folks will look godly. You know, can say some godly things. But they're denying the power thereof in these perilous times, in these last and evil days. They'll be denying the power thereof, and from such people turn away. We have to keep our heart and our mind fixed on Jesus. Amen. You know, as he's ministering in this letter to Timothy, I can just imagine the young man reading this like we are. Wow. You know, let me gird up the loins of my mind. Let me be still and hear what the Lord is saying to me. And we don't need to forget where we've come from. I mentioned earlier how some of our parents have had a great effect upon us. Some it's been negative, but some it's been positive. Some, I want to believe in the God that my mother prayed to. And she was a godly woman, and I'm gonna follow him. See, in 2 Timothy 1 and 5, as Paul was ministering there, he said, when I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you. Somebody need to know today that you have a genuine faith that you have placed in the God of the universe, and it came from somewhere. He says, which also, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice. And he said, I am persuaded is in you also. I'm persuaded, 3 P's, that the word of God, the faith of God, has been planted in you, and God is moving in your life. That God has a plan and a purpose for you. No matter what the situation look like, hold on to God's unchanging hand. Jumping down to the 12th verse before we get to the 16 and 17. In 12 through 15, he says, now listen, as I aforementioned, we're living in perilous times. But he says here, yes, and in all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So don't think it strange, because you long to live for God, that you long you desire to be holy before the Lord. Don't think it strange that you will suffer persecution. Jesus said, but be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. Thank you, Lord. He goes on to say in verse 13, but evil men. See, we need to be aware of what's happening around us. He said, but evil men and imposters, clowns, actors, will grow worse and worse. Are y'all hearing the word today? Sometimes the preacher say, are you hearing me today? But I'm saying, are you hearing the word of God today? But evil men and imposters will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. Deceiving other folks and being deceived themselves. The enemy will throw a great delusion upon the people. And folks will call right, right, and wrong, right, wrong, and wrong, right. But if we have the word of God, if we know what thus saith the Lord, we can stand. In the midst of it all, we can stand. He says, so by understanding that, that the imposters will grow worse and worse. Deceiving and being deceived. Understanding that, he say, but you, hallelujah, you three P's, you Evangelist Camille, hallelujah, you Pastor Amanda, you Deacon Gary, praise the Lord. And the woman over there that's got a birthday coming up. I thought she had stopped having birthdays. Thank you, God. But you must continue. We must continue. You must continue in the things which you have learned and what you have been assured of, knowing from whom you have learned them. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. See, we have those who have stood in the gap for us and showed us the way of the word of God, but it's the God of the universe who have made his word, Rhema, alive to us. To where, hey, we've got something from on high. We have something we can stand on, and it's called the word of God. He said that from a childhood you have known the holy scriptures, which are able to make you wise. The holy scriptures are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. So I flipped the script here to the New Living Translation for verse 16 and 17. Let me read it again. First of all, in the New King James Version, I'm going to jump right into the New Living Translation, because at the end of the day, when we're talking about the need for God's word, we need to understand God's word. And we don't need to be fighting folks about what translation they ought to listen to. Those that are from recognized scholars, whether it's a word-for-word translation or thought-for-thought, but it has been put a stamp of approval on that is representative of the word of God, then, hey, whatever makes you feel good to and smooth to read, then read that. Because we need the word of God. If you're reading something you can't understand it, try something else. It's all the word of God. So here it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God. And it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. And that is so true, that the man of God or the woman of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. It is God who works in us both the will and the do of his good pleasure. It's God who allows us to do a great work for him. That's why folks say, when you pat a saint on the back, they say, thank the Lord. They say, glory to God. They say, it's not me, but it's the Lord that's working in me. Because we know without him, we can do nothing. As the writer say, well, we know that within my flesh dwells no good thing. Praise God, but I know one thing, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. In the New Living Translations, it says, all scripture is inspired by God, right? God breathed, and is useful to teach us what is true. The word of God. If you want to know what's true, go to the word of God. Don't be going to the sorcerers and the mediums and the fortune tellers. Don't be going to the news media. If you want to know truth, you got to get it from the word of God. So all scripture is inspired by God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize. See, the word of God can bring on some conviction that will cause us to respond to the Lord and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. What happens if I never realize that there's something wrong in my life? The wrong is always in you or somebody else. But the word of God will show me what's wrong in my life. Not only would it do that, it corrects us. Once you understand that there's an issue, the word of God, it corrects us when we are wrong. Thank you, God. Have anybody ever been wrong? I don't want to see your hands. It corrects us when we are wrong, and it teaches us to do what is right. Whew, if that ain't an amen, I don't know what is. Because what I used to do and I knew was wrong, I had a case and I can't help it. Thank you, God. But Jesus came in And he began to show me more and more what's wrong. Well, I knew this was wrong. I knew that was wrong. That's wrong too. The Holy Spirit said, yes, that's wrong too. If we allow the word of God to work on our hearts and our mind, he'll change us. He'll change us into the place where he wants us to be. Let me finish reading it. It corrects us when we are wrong and teaches us to do what is right. God uses it to prepare and equip his people to every good work. Three P's, what is God preparing us for? What is he equipping us for? What we see today is not going to be forever. So God has a plan for us as saints of God in this particular body, and he has plans for the saints of God across this globe. What is God, what is your plan for us, Lord? We want to glorify you in this ministry. We want to let the world know that Jesus is Lord and that he's a savior from sin. God, we want to feed the homeless. We want to minister to the sick, God. We want to knock on the prison doors. We want to knock on the doors of our neighborhood. God, you said in your word that you use your word to prepare and equip your people to do every good work. And God, we're saying, have your way. Have your way in my heart. Have your way in my mind, God. Order my steps in your word. You know, see, so we when we talk about the word, you know, we oftentimes we get a word, get the analog out here. We talk about the word. Most of us have a Bible in our home. Most of us have multiple Bibles in our home. Some of us have Bibles that's so been there so long, you move it and you hear kirk, where it's been stuck on the shelf for a while. Some of us have some Bibles where you, oh, let me look at this one. Whoop, whoop, whoop. Let me get the dust off of it, see. But I praise God when I see those Bibles that are full of ink marks, highlights, pages torn, binder coming loose. So we know that God has left his word on record for us. God has given us, again, those 66 love letters in the Holy Bible, and we have them electronically as well. But the writer says, thy word have I hid in my heart. It come to a point we need to get the word from the pages of Scripture and get them plastered and painted and superglued into our hearts and in our minds, that when trouble come our way, we can speak forth the oracles of God. Some of the folks over in communist dark places, they don't even have a whole Bible. Some of them just have pages to hold on to. Hide behind locked doors. But God's word is still true. God's word is still powerful. As Pastor Jones was preaching on this morning, Hebrews 4 and 12. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than a double-edged sword. Divided asunder soul and spirit, bone and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and the intent of the heart, and everything lay open and naked before him, before God, who we have to give an account. We need God's word. See, sometimes I can get into cover-up mode, and you may not know what's happening with me, but God knows. He knows my heart. He knows my mind. He knows my thoughts from afar off. And so when the word of God shows me that, then that should govern the way I carry myself. Who am I? I don't want to be one of those imposters. I don't want to be one of those that's deceiving and being deceived. God, I want to be in you, Christ Jesus. So Jesus not only has left the word of God with us, but Jesus is the word of God. John 1 and 1, in the beginning was the word. Amen. There's a need for God's word. Thank you, Lord. If the question was asked, how many in here are going through some hard times, a challenging times, I would imagine every hand would go up. That's why we need God's word. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. In him was and is life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in darkness. And the darkness did not comprehend it. The darkness could not extinguish it. The darkness could not overcome the light of Jesus Christ. So thank God for his word. Thank God for a relationship with Jesus Christ. How do we develop that relationship with Jesus Christ? It's through his word. If you don't see, faith come by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If you don't hear nothing, you can't do nothing. But when you hear the word of God, you can apply it to your life. God will make it alive to you, and you can begin to walk in newness of life. You can begin to walk toward the light that he shows you. I remember over there, was it Luke 5, when the fishermen were fishing all night long. They were expert fishers. They had been fishing their whole life. Fishing was their livelihood. Now, y'all know what I'm talking about, because sometimes, have you ever worked for your 2 weeks or 1 month, however you get paid, and you go to the mailbox and your check ain't there? You look online, electronic banking. Huh? you know your money's supposed to be there, and it ain't there. Then all of a sudden things get a little, okay, what am I going to do? And so these men had, Peter and the others had been fishing all night, and they had caught nothing. Praise God. But Jesus, like was said on earlier today, when Jesus is in the house, Jesus walked up and he saw that they had a need. He saw the empty boats, no fish in them. Saw the expert fishermen cleaning and washing their nets. Well, where is the bounty for today? Where is the money going to come from for today? Oh, what are you guys going to do? You're going to wait for another day. But Jesus said, listen, son. Listen, men. Listen, expert fishermen. Get back in the boat and let down your net for a draw. And you know how we do sometimes when God's word begins to speak to us, as if God don't know. Well, Jesus, we've been fishing all night and we haven't caught anything. But here's what those who love God and his word and take him at his word will do. But nevertheless, at your word. Nevertheless, at your word. Where's a situation we're going through in our life and it's very uncomfortable. And we get in God's word and God say, do this. Wait on me. Be still and know that I'm God. Be strong and very courageous. See, when we take God at his word, and so Peter said, nevertheless, at your word, we'll let down our nets for a draw. We need the word of God. And so Jesus, the word, gave them the word, and guess what? Their nets start breaking. If that wasn't bad enough, the boat starts sinking. It was so many fish, I don't know if they was crappie or catfish or trout or what, but the boats were about to sink because the word of God. If we trust the Lord and never doubt, surely he will bring us out. So the bottom line today is we need the word of God. The word of God will tell you who the Lord is. The word of God will tell you who you are. The word of God will tell you where you came from. The word of God will tell you how to live, and the word of God will tell you how to die. The word of God is what we need in these last and evil days. The word of God will show you how to love. The word of God will show you that you are loved. The word of God will show you how to forgive. It'll show you how to be forgiven. All that we need for life and godliness is in the word of God. If you are empty, if you are depressed, if you are overwhelmed, if you're sick in your body, whatever it may be, the word of God. You're sick, call on the elders of the church. Hallelujah. You feel alone, go to the word. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. You're hungry, God say, I will feed you with bread from on high. Everything we need is in the word of God. So if you need salvation, if you need that void in your life filled, it's in the word of God. It's in the word of God. Everything we need is in the word of God. Romans 10, 14 and 15, I'll close with this. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him whom they have not heard of? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they've been sent? As it is written, how beautiful on the mountain are the feet of those who carry the gospel of peace. Three P's, you saints of God, you are carrying the gospel of peace. You're living in newness of life. Keep your head up. Keep moving forward. Continue to be thankful and grateful for what God has already done and what he's promised you're going to do, and move on in the strength of the Lord. Let nothing or nobody turn you around. We need the word of God. God bless you. Praise God. Brother Ben. Amen.